Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kala Campbell hosting today here at the show Shout. It's good to be back. Wasn't here last week, but I'm back today. And I hope that everyone under the sound of my voice is doing well and that you are healthy and in good spirits and have plenty of energy, and as you're ending out the day, and hopefully you had a great day. Today here in Colorado, we hit 55 degrees, which was awesome because it brought us out of the freeze zone. It's been freezing here and snowing here in Denver, in Aurora, Colorado. And so anyways, it's been a busy week. We have a lot of things that have taken place, and I know many of you keep up with the news and keep up with some of the things that are going on in your communities. And then there are some who kind of shut down, and sometimes we need to take a break from all of that noise, all of the noise for a minute, and spend some time meditating and being quiet for a moment. And so I thought about my topic for today, and I pretty much was considering some of the things that I have witnessed and the things that I have experienced myself. And I thought, okay, I really want to delve a little bit more into our own humanness, and the things that we're dealing with on a regular basis. And so I thought, hey, you know, rejection. And then somebody said, oh, what do you mean? You know, I want to talk about the power of it. But first, I want to go into why I want to talk about this whole thing about rejection, because rejection is something that we all experience. But how we handle the rejection. We've all experienced rejection in some form or another throughout our development, throughout our lives as we enter into this world, the moment we get up, whether it's with our family or whether it's when we go to our jobs or to school and we have this social interaction or non-interaction. And so I thought, hey, let's talk about this for a little bit, because there is power. There is power in rejection. So let's talk about that for a minute. And I know there are some that may say, huh, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense, Colin. What are you talking about? Well, give me a minute and I'll get there in a minute, okay? But first of all, let's talk about rejection. Number one, we know that rejection is a very painful thing. And I'll be coming from, and I was reading this article from in Psychology Today. So I'm going to kind of delve into what I've read and also based on what my experiences have been. And we've all experienced it. This is something no one escapes. And so rejection, we know that it's a painful thing. We've all experienced the pain of rejection, perhaps from a job that you didn't get, or as the young people would say today, being ghosted by a friend or friends or people who walk away from you, or not being invited to a social event and then seeing your friends post about it and talk about it, right? You know, they get on social media and then all of a sudden they're talking about this party that they went to or this social event and you weren't invited and you knew all the people that were in that group. And so you feel a sense of rejection. We feel rejected when we're not included or accepted or approved of. Rejection involves the loss of something we had or wanted. And rejection, like abandonment, it does cause us to feel unwanted. And you know, we develop this thing of we're not good enough. And this is really, really important that we understand this, because social media, oftentimes people feel this way if they don't have enough friends on their social media feed, or if they don't have enough following like so-and-so, and then they start taking in all this toxic emotions about that. And so we've all experienced rejection in some form, especially in childhood. I know as a child, I was bullied as a child, so I in my school, so I understand that. Being bullied, or when you're trying out for a school play, or you're trying out for trying to make the cut on a team, and you don't make it. Just think about Michael Jordan. He didn't make the team in the beginning. He didn't make varsity in the beginning, right? Or having no one to sit with you at during the lunch hour, and you're sitting by yourself because you don't have any friends, or you're not making any connections, because we as human beings, we want to make those connections. So, or not getting into the college that we want to go to. You know, you may have applied for Harvard, but you had to settle for a state school, a state college. There's nothing wrong with that. So unfortunately, as children, when we experience those type of rejections, it's more impactful because it impacts our development and it impacts our sense of self-worth. So for example, you know, some children also experience rejection at home. This adds another layer of pain. Rejection from your parents or family might have been included, right? Being criticized, or told you're not good enough, or called derogatory names, or being abused, being placed in situations of adoptions. Maybe, you know, for good reasons, you may have been put up for adoption. Being ignored, or being told your feelings or your ideas. Now, I'm going to go back to the adoption portion. Sometimes people give up their children for adoption because they can't, out of the caringness of knowing that they can't provide for that child. So they try to find the right fit for that child. So, but it's still, no matter how it's done and no matter why it's done to the child, it will always feel like abandonment. It doesn't matter. Or being ignored. I think we all know that too well. Or being told that your feelings or your ideas and beliefs don't matter. Right? So rejection leads us to this false belief that we're not worth anything. So generally, the greater the frequency and the younger you are when you are rejected, the more impactful. And according to Psychology Today, just developing children who are just beginning to develop a self-concept or beginning to understand self-worth. So they're vulnerable to the impact of rejection. The impact, the negative impact of rejection, because they don't know how to handle that. Not children don't know how to handle that. And so that follows them into their teen years, and then it follows them into their adult life. So when we are rejected, because young children lack the reasoning skills and life experiences, I mean, they don't fully understand all the possible reasons for being rejected. They just don't. So being repeatedly rejected as a child can lead to a belief that you're inadequate. And especially for girls, I really need to touch upon that, because that's for both girls and boys, but girls especially, because of the social involvement that young girls have with their peers and that social acceptance of needing to fit in, needing to have the right clothes, right? Needing to have your hair in a certain way. Needing to have the right clothing, the right shoes, or having the right status. This is especially true amongst young girls. And so being rejected by your peers, or you weren't invited to the group, or you weren't invited to the party, causes causes us to really feel a sense of unworthiness, where we are not worthy. And so it causes us to have a sense of inadequacy, where we're not feeling adequate. And these false beliefs add to the pain of being rejected and can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that attitude, that mindset, that rejection causes us to now anticipate that we will be rejected. So we don't go out of our way. We don't allow people into our lives as much. We stay a little bit more secluded because we don't want to feel that pain. And so we put these emotional walls up. And so because rejection is so painful, we naturally want to protect ourselves from future rejection. Well, we do this by putting up emotional walls or not sharing vulnerable things, things we feel insecure or self-conscious about, our problems, our hopes and dreams, and we falsely believe that this will take the sting out of rejection, as if holding people at a distance will keep us from getting attached or falling in love, or that rejection won't be as painful if the other person didn't know us deeply. Now, that's from Psychology Today. That last quote is from Psychology Today. And I think if we take the time out to even look at all of the rejection that we've experienced in our lives, then it's a part of our living experience where we'll get the no's. We'll get 1,000 no's or maybe 10,000 no's before we'll get a yes. But those no's is really challenging us to see how resilient we are. Are we going to push through the no? And many give up quickly because of the pain. And so we don't want to continue to feel that pain. And so we pull back, we're not as engaged, and then pretty soon we find ourselves spiraling into a place of loneliness, a place of depression, a place of toxic thinking. Because we're now believing what we've been told or how we've been treated, that we are not worth it. And these voices begin to play into people's minds as to how is that rejection has really impacted their lives to the point of not being able to move forward. And so the other thing that happens is we start to anticipate rejection. As I stated earlier, we start looking, we anticipate it because we've seen it so many times, right? And so we think rejection is an inevitable thing. So we jump the gun and reject the other person before they can reject us. How many people have done that in dating situations? Well, I'm going to quit him before he quits me. I know that's kind of childish, but, you know, those are some of the things that as teenagers, teenagers do that. Young adults do that because they don't want to feel the rejection. They want to have a sense of control over it, over the situation. They make assumptions about things without really having a conversation about it or having a conversation with the other person to see, okay, is this really what I'm sensing? Because sometimes our sensing the rejection comes from our past hurts and our past pain and past rejection. Therefore, here we are in the present moment and we're making these assumptions because, hey, I went through this before. So I'm going to protect myself this time. Again, we think this will spare us from the pain of losing someone we care about or wanted to get to know better. Rejecting others can give us a sense of being in control or having the power, being in the, as I stated earlier about how young people will make this declaration when they see that a relationship is not working, then they'll automatically say, you know what, I'm going to quit her before she quits me. To therefore spare themselves, to spare their own emotions, right? And so, but rejecting others can give us a sense of being in control and having the power of position, but it doesn't make the loss hurt any less. So putting up emotional walls and prematurely rejecting others doesn't help us create fulfilling relationships, and it doesn't protect us from the pain of rejection, because rejection is just, I mean, that's just a part of life. Rejection from jobs, when we go looking for a position or looking for jobs and we send our applications in, and we're competing with a lot of people. You know, let's say you're competing with 200 people. And you submitted your resume and you were hoping that you would be one of the top 10 or you'd be one of the top 5. And then you discover you weren't considered at all, but your resume was never considered. And so, but we don't stop there. We pick up and we keep moving, right? Until we find the place that we need to be. Same thing with dating or when we're in relationships with people. Sometimes those relationships don't work out. And so when the person quits you or when they walk away, that's a hard pill to swallow. It's hard to accept that type of rejection. It's hard to accept that, hey, they didn't like me for whatever reason, right? Sometimes people change just so that they can be accepted. And that's all because of our fear, right? We don't want to be rejected. So we'll put up a front and we'll do things just so that we can be considered. We'll change ourselves. We'll change our look. We'll change our appearance. We'll change different things just to suit others so that we wouldn't be rejected. And so now here we are, we're putting on this imposter, we become having this imposter syndrome when we're trying to be something that we're not. And we know that we're not. It's just like, you know, when two people get married and the wife is doing all those things that she's been trained to do or told to do or the things that she's, let me take that back. I'm not going to say trained. I'm going to say conditioned to do, right? And so, and then when we get into these relationships, we know that we've done everything right. We've done task 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And yet we're still finding ourselves rejecting, being rejected. And then you say to yourself, what's it all for? Because now I was trying to be something that I really wasn't, but I was doing it because I didn't want to be rejected. And so now I'm an imposter because I'm being somebody that I'm not. And so the relationship still sours. And now here I am back alone again. Because we were trying to put on someone else's shoes, so to speak, or put on someone else's dress, or put on someone else's suit, just to suit the other person because we don't want to be rejected. The things that we do to not be rejected. People pleasing. We try to please people in order for us not to be rejected. We become followers and not leaders because God forbid if I say I don't agree with you, all because we don't want to be rejected. And that carries over into our work life. It carries over into our relationships. It carries over into just about any relationship that we encounter. And we have to learn how to let that go. And just be who you are and be who you were meant to be. Because sometimes what it simply is saying, you shouldn't be traveling that road because we all have our own road to follow, and we need to be brave in following that and understanding that you will be rejected no matter what. But I would like to take the time out and sort of talk about how rejection works for us in a positive way, how it puts us sometimes in a place of power, because now we're being set apart, we're being set aside. There's a reason for all of that, because we are being set aside. So I'm using the quote from Dean Zero, who is a businessman who had a tech company of his own and sold everything he had and started something different and started something new. But I love this statement that he makes when he said, rejection is neither an indication of value nor talent. If you believe in what you have to offer, then don't stop offering it simply because some of those or those who those you offer it to may reject it. Many people are not very good at recognizing talent or value. It doesn't mean you won't eventually find an audience that will. Now, what I love about that quote is that we need to get to a point where we know that we're not going to attract all people. We're not going to satisfy and please everybody. We have to get to a point where we get to know who we are and know what we have to offer and know our value and understanding that, the good that God has placed in you, because you are very unique. You are uniquely created. Every last one of us have been uniquely created. And so many people don't understand your talent. Some of them don't. Some don't understand. They don't value what you have to offer because they don't understand it. Some of the greatest leaders have had to go off course and go in a different place and have a different mindset that was not similar, that was not the norm, and having to take the time out to be to themselves in order to now set these goals without sharing the dream with anyone, because they know that there are people who are not going to share their dreams. They're not going to share their values. They're not going to recognize them for who they really are. And so we need to get to the point of knowing who our, what our value is, in spite of the rejection. Because the rejection is just going to show you after a while, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I was supposed to be this, not that. I was supposed to go around this corner, not that corner. Not everyone will understand your journey. Your journey is different. You know, as I'm saying this, I think about Joseph and the character in the scriptures in the Bible, the character Joseph, and how Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. And Joseph was a dreamer, and he would have these vivid dreams about his family and about, and but what Joseph didn't understand was that he was having dreams about his destiny. And his brothers didn't understand it. The brothers were jealous. He was the favorite by the father. The father favored him out of all the sons. But for him to have a dream on top of being favored, he was rejected by his family. His siblings, his brothers, sold him into slavery. Now that is really significant. But this was all a part of Joseph's journey. The rejection of his brothers whom he loved. And to have the ones that you love sell you, sold put in a pit, stripped of your clothing, stripping of your dreams. And so now you're in slavery. Now you're having to answer to someone that you don't know, and you're living in a country that you don't know. But that rejection placed Joseph in a place of power, in a place of authority. And that place of power and authority was really to help protect his people. And so not everyone will understand your journey. Not everyone will understand the purpose and your destiny. Not even the ones, including the ones who reject you. They don't know. Because it's not their journey to make sense of it. It's yours. It's your journey. And so the rejection is just part of the process. Rejection is a devastating experience, and it does harm to our self-esteem. And we all know that. It punches holes in our psyche. So when people leave us or abandon us, or physically and emotionally, we are very devastated. Extremely. So when we go back to Joseph, he was devastated. Can you imagine that? He was devastated, stripped of his clothing, thrown in a pit, tied down, then thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery. He'd go to his father and lie to say that Joseph was killed by a wild animal, right? So therefore, the father doesn't make the attempt to look for Joseph, because his family betrayed him. That's the devastation. It is the mentally strong who resist and say, hey, I'm going to keep going no matter what happens. Resilience. Being resilient. Rejection can destroy us if we let it. But we have to find a way to not let it destroy us. We have to stand firm. We have to find some type of hope. We have to have some type of optimism and believing in ourselves and knowing that all these things are going to work out for our good. We got to believe that it's going to work out for our good in some way. No rejection, no matter where it's coming from, leaves the soul harmed and wounded. To when Joseph's brothers had no choice but to come to Egypt to find food for their family, they didn't even recognize their brother, because now their brother was in a place of authority, and not realizing that that dream that Joseph had was now coming to pass. And it wasn't for Joseph to take revenge, because Joseph didn't have revenge in his heart. But he was truly hurt, truly, truly hurt. But he knew that it was for the greater good, and that God had a purpose, and that his journey, it was part of his journey to get where he needed to be to protect his people. We must remember that sometimes rejection in life is really a redirection of something, something far greater than ourselves. Sometimes we don't realize that because we're so wounded and we're so hurt that oftentimes we can't see around the bend. We can't see around the corner because we're dealing with the pain. But after a while, something new comes across, something new comes our way. You know, you may have gone through a divorce and been rejected in that marriage. But then God sends somebody else that's better for you, that becomes a better partner for you. Or maybe the job, you know, maybe there was a rejection there. And then, but then there was something else that comes out of that where you're in a different position, in a different place. Or maybe you're a teenager, a young person who's out there trying to establish your own business, trying to do your own thing, and people are telling you, you're too young, you don't know what you're doing, let it go, you know, but you believe in it. But after a while, when you keep hearing, let that go, we don't have the money to help you, you need to figure that out. After a while, when you hear no all the time, you give up, and especially for young people, they give up. Some don't. Some are very, very resilient and like, you're not going to tell me because I know this is going to work, right? But then you have others when they've been told so many times, they soon wither and forsake their dream or forsake their belief that they can do it. Their confidence is shaken. Rejection is a common occurrence. Learning that early often will help you build up the tolerance and the resistance to keep going. So the sooner you understand that rejection is just a part of our lives, then we can quickly recover. We can recover a lot faster. The fear of rejection also comes from the fear of not being good enough, because we were told at a young age, going back to what I stated earlier, you know, you were told at a young age that you're stupid or you are dumb or you won't make it or you just don't have the goods. And so we hold those things and they maintain themselves in our conscious and in our subconscious, where we think that we're not good enough. We can have all the talent in the world, but because of the fact that we don't believe in it, so we sabotage ourselves sometimes because of that rejection. Okay, so anyways, also I see that I think of individuals who have experienced rejection and yet they have become one of the most powerful individuals to influence society. And so, I mean, some of your best people, your entrepreneurs, your creators, all these people who have experienced rejection along the way. I think of individuals who have experienced rejection and yet they have become one of the most powerful individuals to influence society. Rejection gives you more power to push forward. This is a quote by Jeremy Lin. I needed to think about that for a minute. Rejection gives you more power to push forward. How is it that rejection gives us power? It gives you more power to push forward. So if God be for you, who can be against you? So, you know, we begin to quote the word, right? We begin to quote these things into our lives. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we're combating all of that rejection. We're declaring war on the rejection. We know rejection is coming, but we're finding a way to combat it. Rejection is nothing more than a necessary step in the pursuit to success. And so rejection, in all of its form, in all of its ways. You think about some of the greats. And some of these people you know, some of these stories you've heard, you've heard of Walt Disney and, you know, when him is establishing Disney animation program and the animation business, the whole Disney world, which is filled with imaginable things and imaginable recreation and family and so forth. These are all some of the values and the concepts of Disney, right? But Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star because his editor felt he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Now go figure. Had no good ideas. But yet this man managed to establish Disney World through a little mouse that he created for his animation, Minnie Mouse, Mickey Mouse, right? Mickey Mouse. The first animation film, the first animation storyboard came from Walt Disney, who was told that he lacked imagination. That's a form of rejection. You're not good enough for us. So we're letting you go. That was a mistake. Steven Spielberg, and I know you've heard this, and some maybe you didn't hear this, but Steven Spielberg was rejected by the University of Southern California School of Cinematic Arts multiple times. He applied multiple times, and they said no. Not good enough. You don't fit our criteria. But now Steven Spielberg is Oscar material, Oscar award winning. This is a man who has successfully over and over again created films that we still remember and we still cherish some of those films. Steven Spielberg. Or Sidney Poitier. You know, this is an African-American actor from out of the 1950s, 1960s. And when he first auditioned with the American Negro Theater, the American Negro Theater rejected him. And they rejected him because of the fact that he had a heavy Caribbean accent. Because, you know, Sidney Poitier was from the Caribbean Islands. And which made the director angry at him and told him in an angrily fashion to stop wasting his time and to go get a job as a dishwasher. This is what Sidney Poitier was told. Go get a job as a dishwasher. There's no way you're going to make it in film. And boy, were they wrong, right? So there's that rejection, but Sidney Poitier did not allow that to stop him. He worked on his craft. He worked on his accent. He worked hard. And he became a huge success in Hollywood, winning an Academy Award for Best Actor. And he helped break down the color barrier in the American film industry. The American Negro Theater said no. But God had another plan for Sidney Poitier, where he finds himself amongst the American film industry and broke the color barrier. That's almost like a Joseph story. It's almost like a Joseph story. The brothers pushed him to the side. Told him he wasn't going to make it. Told him he was no good. And then here it is. Now they're breaking down the color barrier. He's breaking down the color barrier in the American film industry and allowing those same people from the American Negro Theater to now have open doors for them in the American film industry, in Hollywood. Oprah Winfrey, I know some, well, we always talk about Oprah. Oprah is well known. Everybody knows Oprah Winfrey. But Oprah Winfrey was publicly fired for her first television. She talks about that. She shared that story when she first came into to own it as to who she is today. And she talks about that, you know, how she was fired from her first television job as an anchor in Baltimore. But getting too emotionally invested in her stories And then yet, but this is how she built her brand, was because of the fact that she was emotionally invested. All the topics that she covered in her shows were very emotional. And it was dealing on the side of human, on the human side of reporting. And so now she's a billionaire who has established her own network. So I just shared a few of these things about how rejection and the rejection of over and over and over where people tell you no, and over where people drop you, and over where people walk away from you. Just know that your journey is different from everyone else. Not everyone will understand your journey. And that's fine. They don't need to be on board if they don't understand your journey, right? It's not their journey. It's yours to make sense of. The Road Less Traveled. There's a poem by Robert Frost. It's one of my favorite poems where he says, you know, caught between the woods and I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And oftentimes we are having to take the road less traveled. Oftentimes we have to cut out the noise and really find out what is our true calling. Who were we meant to be? The rejection is just part of the journey. I think about Albert Einstein, who was considered almost autistic because they didn't believe in Albert Einstein. I mean, as a kid, Albert Einstein didn't do well at all in math. He didn't do well. He didn't do well at all in his subjects. He was a poor student. But look at what Albert Einstein has accomplished. The theory of relativity. This is all coming from someone who was told that he was not smart enough. So when I say rejection and the power of it, it's all in how we look at it. As we get older, we begin to understand it a little bit more. We begin to understand a little bit better. Some of us do. Some of us are stuck in the pain of it all. Some of us are stuck in the harm of it all. But when we get to a point where we understand, okay, this was all to make things, to push me in a direction that I needed to go. So I think about my own life. I think about the places that I've been, the decisions that I've made, the companies I've worked for, the organizations I've worked for, the different places. And so we've learned that sometimes we're just being pushed in a different direction, sometimes in a direction that we didn't expect. And then sometimes in a direction like Jonah that we didn't want to go to. When we didn't want to go, and so we found ways to try to slip away from that. And so all things do work out. So it is working out. All things do work out for our good, because we're being led and directed into a different path. And so rejection, the power of it. The power of rejection. How does it place us in a position of power? So going back to Joseph was placed in a position of power outside of his rejection. Being rejected put him in a path, in a place of power. The rejection of his family, the being sold into slavery, to being thrown into jail, to be coming out of that and being placed in a position of power And what was the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that was by divine order to be there as a place of intercession for his people. Isn't that powerful? So sometimes we don't know. I've heard people say things like, man's rejection is God's protection. We say all these things, right? But we really don't totally understand because we're still hurting. We're still hurting. The journey, we have to remember, this is a journey that we're on. Every day that we breathe and every day that we live, we're going to experience something. Whether it's applying for a loan and not getting the loan. Or whether it's, hey, I'm in love with this person, but they're not in love with me. So there's that rejection, the romantic rejection, family rejection, relationships, period. And we have to learn how to navigate through that so that we can become victorious in what we do and where we are and how we get there. So I know I've said a lot, but when I think about young people who are committing suicide and I see the numbers growing, especially in the African-American communities, but across the board, suicide rates is high in this country. For some, it is from rejection. For some, it's from not having acceptance, being bullied. Measuring ourselves and our self-worth up against people who are celebrities, when we know it's unfair to treat yourself that way. Do not treat yourself that way because you are not in that position and you are not them. You have something far greater to offer. So we compare ourselves based on where we live. We compare ourselves with what we're wearing. We're constantly looking at what they're wearing and then thinking, okay, maybe I need to go purchase that. I like that. All they're doing is just advertising for corporations. And so therefore, here's the look. And then now you're trying to compare yourself to that, which is very unrealistic. So in the midst of rejections, be kind to yourself. Love yourself. Be good to you. Follow your own path. Follow your own journey. And everything that belongs to you, that should come to you, will be there. Okay, I was about to end it right here, but I do see that there are two people on the line, and I think I know who they are. But I'm going to let them in. And so, let's have that. Just talk about how you overcome rejection. What you know, putting your faith, whether it's by your faith and putting your faith in God, or you know, you're learning how to ignore the noise. I call it noise, and the reason why I call it noise because that's what it is. I mean, when we're hearing things from all over, especially in social media platforms or whether it's at work, and you hear all the gossip and you hear all this stuff, and we have to learn how to shut that down. We have to learn how to shut the noise off. We need to learn how to get quiet into our quiet space and say, okay, well, wait a minute, that's not me. And I refuse to believe that's me because that's not me. And so sometimes we need to do that. And so anyway, I'm going to take a call. And then afterwards, I'm going to close out. So here we go. I'm going to take a call here. Hello, are you there? Hello.
Shalom, peace and blessings, family. Okay. Well, I was just listening. I'm Apostle's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I become enlightened listening to these ministries and these programs. They help me because I'm still young in the faith. I truly believe in God and what he has for me and my life. And I was caught up, years ago I was caught up in I didn't have any identity. I didn't know who I was. I saw others. I thought to be like them. And after a moment, it was like, I was just lost and confused. Didn't know who to turn to and didn't know who to talk to about this issue going on in my life. And at one point in time, I was struggling, and I had a pretty good job. I was working at a jail, making good money, and I just started having these suicidal thoughts. And I think I was in my late 30s, early 40s, somewhere in there. And I just got confused and I got lost. And the suicide, it became not necessarily an idea, it became an action. I put it into action twice. Of course, I didn't succeed, but it was, I had to get within myself, in my mind. I had to go through my mind, and was it something that I was missing that was taught to me when I was young, or was it something that I was supposed to have picked up along the way in life, dealing with others? I just didn't know, just didn't understand, and I was lost. I was just lost. And I went through this thing for a while, and with me, I started reading scriptures. I also had a Quran, and I would read, and I would get to the point where I was starting to understand me, who I was, me, and not to want to be like anybody else, no family member or friends or anybody on TV. Just be me, an individual. And it was rough at first, but I got to the point where I had to do what I had to do. I had to put me on the back burner and become the real me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I was just like an idea. Like you said, Walt Disney, he had the idea of the mouse or the rat. And with me, what I was supposed to be or what I thought I was going to be, it was just a figment of my imagination. Until I got rid of that thinking, I got positive about myself, and I started reading scriptures. I started getting a lot of information, free information, and reading books, and figuring out who I am and what I should be doing, where I should be at, and whatever else. And as I went through that, God, he put me in a particular place, and to me it wasn't just about having a job and living nice and, having friends and this and that, whatever. It was a lot deeper than that, but I learned, still learning, at 74, that God was my source and he still is my source. And for me, it is for me to go back to the source when I have an issue with me, he'll clarify that for me and he'll put me on the right track. And it's not that I'm going to stay on the right track. I've fallen off or slipped down, and I have to go back to him. I have to realize, go back to him, because I understand that he is my creator, my redeemer, my sustainer, and he's my judge through his word. And I'm content and happy with that, not to be like anybody else. And I try to tell my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you need to be who you are, not who you think you are, not wanting to be like somebody else, having what they have and doing what they're doing. Be who you are yourself. Get within yourself. A lot of times we don't get into ourselves. We just go from pillar to post, doing this and doing that, and, thinking one day, well, we're going to hit it one day. It doesn't work like that. For me, it didn't work like that. But You know, I just truly thank God. And I'm not one of those holier than thou people. You know, I open my mouth when I need to. And, you know, I just do what I have to do. Sometimes I want to do something. I want my cake and eat it too sometimes, and I have to tell myself, no, that's not for you. You know, it's not for me. There's a place and time for any and everything in life. And I found it out, and I said, well, I just have to wait patiently until my time comes. I can't force anything. If I force it, there's going to be a problem. Yeah. And that's where I'm at now. Yeah. I truly thank you for your program. I thank you for that idea, that thought, that topic that you spoke on. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, it's something that we all deal with, you know. It's no one has escaped that. It's just in how we handle that.
Yes.
But yes, you're right. And thank you for sharing your story. That's a powerful story.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
To God be the glory.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to go to it looks like one more person, and then I'm going to shut it down. So let me see who this is. Okay. Hello? Hello, are they still there? Okay, I guess they're not there. So I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to close out and want to say thank you guys for all of you. Thanks to all of you who are listening. And I hope that, you know, this message was inspirational to you and that you receive something from it. And so we're going to close it out. Is there some... Hello? Okay, so I'm going to close it out, and I just want to say thank you. Have a great evening. Peace and blessings to you. Good night.